This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Rich Moreno.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
We've seen in the last couple of weeks a couple journalists killed by ISIS, Stephen Sotloff and James Foley. Those executions were videotaped. I don't know anyone's actually watched those, and I certainly have no interest in seeing them. But this underscores again how dangerous it can be to work as a journalist, especially in some of these war zones, some of these areas where there's ongoing strife and conflict. And like I said, Jasmine, they're not the first to lose their lives while trying to report.
No, the Committee to Protect Journalists put out a number of statistics for journalists killed worldwide from 1992 to 2014. In this year, 34 journalists have been killed across the world. Last year in 2013, there were 70, and the year before that, 74. So, you know, we're seeing at least 70 journalists killed almost every year.
Yeah, that's terrible. I mean, it does make you want to consider whether you want to be a foreign correspondent. It used to sound so romantic and be one of the plum assignments. I think what's changed, though, is that once upon a time, journalists would be killed, like in a war zone or something, but it was accidental. I think that the shift that we're seeing now for the first time are groups like ISIS, which is the Islamic group in Syria and in Iraq, terrorist group, and they're targeting journalists. They're capturing journalists, and then they're putting it on film, as we have read. I too have not seen the video and have no desire to see that. And so for the first time, journalists have really become targets. At least first time I'm aware of. I mean, obviously you've had Ernie Pyle. I mean, you've had journalists die in war zones. Over the years, but this is the first time that I'm aware of where they're really going after journalists, and I don't know why. I mean, it doesn't. Well, I mean, well, none of it makes sense.
Yeah, another difference might be with Sotloff and Foley. These are freelance journalists. They're not representing a particular network. They're looking for work, and perhaps they're taking risks that they otherwise might not take if they had that secure paycheck coming in and they were working for a network and were receiving perhaps instructions from a news director saying, don't do this, go ahead and do that sort of thing.
Yeah. I think we are seeing more freelancers targeted because they are out there searching for those stories that maybe aren't being told. And by looking for those stories, they're putting themselves in dangerous situations. I mean, there have been network correspondents before who have been kidnapped, but in Richard Engel, his case, he's an NBC reporter. He was released after 5 days. He also had the backing of a major network, and who knows what was done behind the scenes there to secure his release. But these other reporters, these freelancers, they're being kidnapped and held for a long time, and we are not really hearing about it until their deaths. And whereas when Richard Engel was kidnapped, that was almost immediately known.
Well, that's true. And Daniel Pearl with the Wall Street Journal, I think.
Yeah,
we heard all about him, and so I think that does support your thesis that when you're representing a major news organization, you've got the power of that organization behind you. In a weird way, this may also just be a reflection of the kind of economic times of the media right now. The fact that there is more reliance on freelancers, and so they don't have huge staffs of people to send to these war zones, and so. In the case of Foley, I know he worked for the Times, I think, as a freelancer for the New York Times and some other major organizations. I think it's just a reflection that we're using more freelancers, and obviously we see the consequences.
It's a conscious decision by some of these large news organizations, isn't it? It's probably cheaper for them to hire a freelancer. You're not paying for their health care. You're only paying them per story rather than a salary. And that's leading to the situation where you have freelancers.
Well, and they basically have to, in some ways, they're almost forced to be put in those dangerous situations because you want the story that's going to get bought or by multiple outlets. I mean, if you're a freelancer, you're out there trying to make a buck any way that you can. And so I think, again, this is a reflection of kind of the state of the media, where we don't have big groups of foreign correspondents from these major organizations, and they're relying more on freelancers who then have to kind of go, put themselves in harm's way to get the story.
And fend for themselves.
Right.
Right, because they probably don't have security teams, whereas maybe a major news network would have people in place to protect their journalists. Either way, anyone working in a war zone is going to be in danger. But I do think that freelancers are put in even more danger.
Republican U.S. Senator Mark Kirk of Illinois last week suggested that perhaps reporters should not go into these areas where there are conflicts. What do either of you think about that?
That's not going to happen.
Right. I don't agree at all.
Several reasons. Number one, how do we know what's going on then? I mean,
exactly.
Where do we get the light of truth shined on these events? And obviously, it's already hard enough when you're embedded, as far as like a lot of U.S. Media. They're not able to write about some of the things. I mean, there are a lot of the rules. We think about World War II or even Vietnam, where the media was kind of running around covering things. That doesn't even happen very often. Now, some of these war zones like Syria, that is crazy, and there are no rules. Obviously a freelancer does have an opportunity to go in there, but I don't see it happening. It's not the nature of journalists to just sit back and say, okay, we're not going into Syria because they told us not to.
Right. It's not our job to hide from
exactly.
Something that's dangerous like that. Even more so, we need to be there to show what's happening there. And unfortunately, the death of a journalist is showing how bad it is.
Well, you can kind of see that, in the case of Syria, the gas attacks, there were no media people there. And then there were months and months of debate over, who used gas there. Was it the Syrian, Assad Syrian troops? Was it the rebels, et cetera? There's a prime example in a war zone where we really don't know, because there wasn't that objective observer on the scene that was there saying, oh, my God, this is terrible and this is what's happening.
All right, and with that, we have run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.